Welcome back to Clown Cast, episode 145. So, quick honesty check. We did an episode a while back, episode 121, about imposter phenomenon, and the whole thesis was, your brain is lying to you. You're qualified. You belong. The anxiety is a glitch in the system.
Yeah, I remember. That one actually helped me. I sent it to like 3 people.
Good. I'm glad. But today I need to do something kind of cruel, which is, what if, sometimes, your brain isn't lying? What if that voice saying I don't belong in this role is actually correct?
Oh no, you're taking back the therapy episode.
Not taking it back. Think of this as the diagnostic episode. Episode 121 gave you the treatment for imposter phenomenon. Today gives you the tools to figure out whether you actually have it, or whether you're experiencing something completely different that just feels the same.
Okay, I'm nervous but intrigued. What are we talking about?
The Peter Principle, named after Lawrence J. Peter, who published a book in 1969 with the most devastating one-liner in organizational psychology, in a hierarchy, every employee tends to rise to their level of incompetence.
Rise to their level of weight. So the idea is that you keep getting promoted until you're bad at your job.
Exactly. You're great at level 1, so they promote you to level 2. You're good at level 2, so they promote you to level 3. You're mediocre at level 3, so you stay there. Forever. The promotions stop, but you don't go back down. The system only moves in one direction. So every position in a hierarchy tends to be filled by someone who is not competent to fulfill their duties.
That's horrifying, and also explains every manager I've ever had.
And here is the thing. Peter wrote this as satire. It was supposed to be a joke. A business comedy book, but like a lot of great satire, it turned out to be more true than anyone wanted to admit. And in 2018, we got the proof.
Actual scientific proof.
A massive study from the National Bureau of Economic Research. Alan Benson, Danny L. Lai, and Kelly Hsu analyzed 53,035 salespeople across 214 firms. And what they found is one of the most elegant confirmations of a theoretical prediction I've ever seen in social science.
53,000 people. That's not a study, that's a census.
The finding, the best salespeople, when promoted to sales managers, became the worst managers. Not mediocre, the worst. And it was linear. For every doubling in a salesperson's sales performance, their managerial effectiveness dropped by about 7.5%. The better you were at selling, the worse you were at managing sellers.
So the company is literally selecting for the wrong thing. They're promoting people based on a skill that anti-correlates with the job they're promoting them into.
And this is where I want to bring in our first metaphor, because I think it makes the mechanism really clear. You ever play a Final Fantasy game with a job system, like Final Fantasy Tactics or Final Fantasy V?
Oh yeah, where you can switch your character between classes, white mage, black mage, knight, whatever.
Right, so imagine you've got a character who's been a white mage for 30 levels. They're an incredible white mage, best healer on the team. Their magic stats are through the roof, their spirit is maxed out. They know every cure spell in the book. And then someone in the guild hall says, you know what, you're our best party member. We're promoting you to Dark Knight.
Oh no!
And the character puts on the heavy armor, picks up the greatsword, walks into the next dungeon, and their strength is 12. Their HP is garbage. They can't use any of their healing spells because Dark Knights don't cast cure. Every stat they invested in is now irrelevant. They didn't get worse at being a person. They got reassigned to a class that requires an entirely different stat distribution.
And nobody respects them. They just assumed good white mage equals good dark knight because the job title has a higher number on it.
That's the Peter Principle. The promotion system assumes that competence in role predicts competence in role B. But selling and managing are different jobs. Coding and leading a dev team are different jobs. Teaching and running a school are different jobs. They require different stats.
So the best individual contributor gets pulled out of the role they're amazing at and dropped into a role they're not built for.
And this connects to something we talked about way back in episode 74, the character creation episode about starting a new job. We talked about how your first 2 weeks involve stat allocation that shapes your career. But here's what we didn't cover. What happens when the system allocates your stats for you? When you didn't choose to respect, someone else decided you should.
That's way worse.
At least in character creation, you're picking your own class.
And the data backs up just how bad this mismatch can be. The Enverse study found that the skills that made someone a top salesperson, individual competitiveness, personal client relationships, solo drive, those traits actively worked against them as managers, because managing is about making other people successful, not about closing deals yourself. The competitive lone wolf instinct that makes you a killer salesperson makes you a terrible manager because you're subtly competing with your own team.
You're trying to be the main character when your new job is literally to be the support class.
Exactly. They forced a DPS into a healer role and then got confused when the party started wiping.
Okay, so the Peter Principle explains why so many managers are bad, but you mentioned something about random promotions. That can't be real.
Oh, it's real, and it won an Ig Nobel Prize. In 2010, three researchers, Alessandro Placino, Andrea Reposarda, and Cesare Garofalo at the University of Catania in Italy, built an agent-based simulation of a hierarchical organization. They modeled different promotion strategies and measured overall organizational efficiency. And the result is one of the most beautifully absurd findings in the history of organizational science.
Hit me.
Random promotions outperform merit-based promotions. Literally choosing people at random produce better organizational outcomes than promoting the highest performers.
I'm sorry, what? Rolling dice was better than using data.
Because of the class mismatch problem. When you promote the best performer, you're optimizing for the wrong variable. You're selecting based on role competence and placing into role B. When you promote randomly, you at least have a chance of accidentally placing someone whose stats match the new role. The systematic bias of best performer gets promoted is worse than no bias at all.
That is the most galaxy brain research finding I've ever heard. Stop trying to pick the best person, you're making it worse.
And here's where our second metaphor kicks in, because I think it captures the experience of being inside the system. You ever play Elder Scrolls IV, Oblivion?
Oh god, are we talking about the leveling system?
We are absolutely talking about the leveling system. For anyone who hasn't played it, Oblivion had this notoriously broken mechanic where enemies in the world scaled with your character level. As you leveled up, every bandit, every goblin, every monster leveled up with you. In theory, this keeps the game challenging. In practice, it was a nightmare.
Because you could level up by doing the wrong things.
Right. Your level increased based on how much you used your major skills. But if your major skills were things like speechcraft and athletics and mercantile, non-combat skills, you'd gain levels without actually getting better at fighting. So you'd be level 20 with the combat stats of the level 5, and every enemy in the world is now level 20. You leveled up and got weaker. The number went up and your actual capability went down.
That's the Peter Principle in game form. You leveled up by getting promoted, but the enemies, the challenges of the new role scaled with your title, and your actual skills for that role didn't keep pace.
And the Oblivion metaphor captures something specific that the Final Fantasy I doesn't. The feeling of drowning. In Oblivion, you don't realize you've broken your character until you're deep in a dungeon, and suddenly nothing works. The rats are killing you. The bandits are two-shotting you. And you're standing there thinking, I'm level 20. Why am I losing to a bandit? And the answer is, your level is a lie. It reflects time invested, not combat readiness.
That is exactly what it feels like when you get promoted, and suddenly you can't do your job. Your title says senior, or director, or VP, but the actual challenges of the role are destroying you because you invested in the wrong skill tree.
And here's the really insidious part. In Oblivion, at least you can start a new character. In real life, which brings us to our third metaphor.
Oh, I'm ready for this one.
Minecraft's Curse of Binding.
Oh no!
For the non-Minecraft folks, Curse of Binding is an enchantment you can find on armor. Once you put the armor on, you cannot take it off. It's stuck on you. The only ways to remove it are to die or to let the armor break from use. That's it. No other option.
So the promotion is the cursed armor.
You accepted the manager title. You put on the director chest plate. And now you can't take it off. Because in most organizational cultures, stepping back down is treated as failure. Asking to return to your old role is career suicide. The hierarchy only has an escalator going up. There's no graceful way to say, actually, I was better as a white mage, can I go back?
You're stuck in armor that doesn't fit fighting enemies you're not built for, and the only way out is to quit, which is the Minecraft equivalent of dying.
And the Curse of Binding captures something really important about the psychological trap. It's not just that you can't go back. It's that the armor is valuable. It's enchanted. It has the title, the salary, the status. Nobody wants to take off armor that looks prestigious, even when it's making them worse at everything. The golden handcuffs aren't just financial, they're identity level.
So now I'm thinking about the imposter episode again. How do you tell the difference? How do you know if you're experiencing imposter phenomenon, your brain lying about your competence versus the Peter principle, where you're genuinely misclassed?
And that's the whole reason this episode exists. Because the feeling is almost identical from the inside. Both feel like I don't belong here. Both involve anxiety, self-doubt, fear of being exposed. But the cause is completely different, and so is the solution.
Okay, so walk me through the diagnostic.
Imposter phenomenon is when you're competent but feel incompetent. The evidence says you're doing well, your results are good, your peers respect you, your boss is happy, but your internal narrative says it's all luck or deception. The stats match the class. You're a good dark knight who thinks they're a bad dark knight.
Right, the brain glitch.
The Peter principle is when you're genuinely struggling because the role requires different skills than you have. The evidence actually supports your anxiety. Your results are declining. The things that made you great before aren't working. You're spending energy on tasks that drain you rather than energize you. The stats don't match the class. You're a white mage wearing dark knight armor and the numbers don't lie.
So the difference is external evidence. Imposter phenomenon exists despite good results. The Peter principle exists because of bad results.
That's the clearest diagnostic, and the solutions are opposite. For imposter phenomenon, you need to trust the evidence and override the narrative. For the Peter principle, you need to trust the narrative and find a different role. Applying the wrong solution is catastrophic. If you have imposter phenomenon and you quit, you've abandoned a role you were good at. If you have the Peter principle and you just try to push through the self-doubt, you're going to burn out in a role that was never built for your stats.
This is actually kind of profound. We gave people a cure in episode 121. Now we're giving them the differential diagnosis.
And here's where it gets systemic, because it's not just an individual problem. The Enverse study found that companies who promoted based on sales performance rather than managerial aptitude had significantly higher turnover rates among the promoted managers' direct reports. So the misclassed manager isn't just suffering themselves, they're causing their team to quit.
Collateral damage from a bad class assignment.
Massive collateral damage, and the Ig Nobel simulation showed that organizations using merit-based promotion, which sounds like the obviously correct approach, actually performed worse overall than organizations using random selection or a hybrid system that alternated between promoting the best and worst performers.
Alternating between best and worst, that's chaotic.
It breaks the systematic bias, because sometimes the worst performer in role has exactly the stats role B needs. Maybe the salesperson who wasn't closing deals was spending all their time coaching teammates and building systems, which is exactly what a manager should do. They look bad as a salesperson because they were already doing the wrong job.
They were a healer pretending to be DPS because the guild only measured DPS output.
And that's the deepest problem. Organizations almost universally measure role of performance and use it to make role B decisions. It's like evaluating a fish's potential as a pilot by how well it swims. The metric isn't just wrong, it's inversely correlated.
So what's the fix? We can't actually promote people randomly. HR would lose their minds.
Some companies are trying dual-track career ladders, separate individual contributor and management tracks. So a brilliant engineer can advance to principal engineer or distinguished engineer without ever managing people. Their promotion goes deeper into what they're already great at instead of sideways into a class they never trained for.
Like letting the white mage become an archmage instead of forcing them to become a dark knight.
Exactly. Spotify, Google, and a bunch of other tech companies have implemented this. The research suggests it works, but it requires organizations to genuinely value both tracks equally, which is harder than it sounds. In most companies, the management track still has more prestige, more pay, and more influence. So the curse of binding is still there. It's just now you're choosing not to put on armor that everyone else is wearing.
Social pressure instead of a literal curse. Almost worse.
And look, I want to be careful here because Lawrence Peter himself said this was partially satire. Not every promotion is a mistake. Not every struggling manager is Peter principled. Some people genuinely grow into new roles. The Enverse study found the correlation, not a universal law. There are salespeople who became great managers, but the systematic tendency is real. And the 53,000 person dataset makes it pretty hard to hand wave away.
53,000. That's a lot of misclassed dark knights.
And here's the part that keeps me up at night. Peter's corollary, his follow-up prediction, was that in a mature hierarchy, every position will eventually be occupied by someone incompetent to perform their duties. The useful work gets done by people who haven't yet reached their level of incompetence.
So the entire organization is being carried by the people who haven't been promoted yet.
The ones still in their correct class. The moment you identify someone as effective and promote them, you've potentially removed them from the role where they create value and place them in a role where they destroy it.
That's like the worst possible reward system.
You're amazing at this. As a reward, we're going to make you stop doing it forever.
And put cursed binding armor on you so you can never go back.
Man, so what should I actually do with this information? If I get offered a promotion, should I be suspicious?
I think the question isn't, should I take the promotion? The question is, does this promotion move me to a role that uses my actual stats? Or does it move me to a role that requires stats I don't have? If you're a brilliant individual contributor being asked to manage a team, ask yourself honestly, do I want to make other people successful? Or do I want to keep doing the work myself? Because those are different classes. And there's no shame in saying I'm a white mage and I want to keep casting cure.
The shame is in the system, not the player.
The shame is entirely in the system.
Okay, so we gave people the cure in 121, the character creation guide in 74, and now the class compatibility chart. This is becoming a whole career RPG manual.
We're building the strategy guide one episode at a time. And actually, that's a good segue to what I want to do next time. We've now talked about how your brain lies about competence, how to spec your character at a new job, and how the promotion system can misclass you. But there's a bigger structural question underneath all of this. Why do organizations keep doing things they know don't work? It's not just promotions. It's meetings, performance reviews, open floor plans, annual planning cycles. There is a whole field called organizational inertia that explains why companies are essentially incapable of changing their own bad habits, even when they have the data proving the habits are bad.
So it's not just individuals rising to incompetence, it's the organization itself.
The organization levels up and gets worse. Oblivion scaling at the institutional level.
Oh, that's terrifying. I absolutely want to do that one.
Sam, until then. We're Clowncast. Go check your stat distribution. Make sure your class matches your armor.
And if it doesn't, remember, there's no shame in respecting.
See you next time.